This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Money Moves on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Second half just getting started in the college football playoff quarterfinal. It's the Orange Bowl between Oregon and Texas Tech. We got a first and 10 for Oregon and Dante Moore as they just get the ball back. Good punt return. They will start their drive on the Texas Tech 41-yard line. What's up and welcome in. I'm Jonathan Von Tobel. Stormy Bonantoni, not here, actually on the sidelines of this game. We will effort to get her live from this contest after it has ended. We'll see if we have time or if the show kind of jives with the end of that. We'll have a couple of guests with you as well. We'll tell you about them momentarily, but let's give you a sit rep of what's going on here in the Orange Bowl and what I'll be watching for the rest of our 2 hours together. So, score is 6-0. Oregon up on top. 2nd and 8 coming up here. Tail of the tape, if you will. This has been statistically a dominant performance for Oregon, and yet on the scoreboard, really nothing to show for it at this point right now. Ducks have outgained Texas Tech 200-90 in terms of total yards. Now, that's skewed a little bit by the box score, considering, of course, college football, you actually have net rushing yards. So we have -3 rushing yards technically for Oregon in this game, but they have been all over Texas Tech. Texas Tech right now, only 3 first downs in this game so far, 2 of 7 on third downs. And of course, less than 100 total yards. This has been a game in which Oregon has shot itself in the foot consistently. 4th down early, you try to go with a weird power sweep out of a wildcat, you don't get it. 4th and goal early in the first half, you try to cut the field in half and roll Dante Moore out to the right, and instead you get absolutely nothing. Decision making, mistakes, sacks on first downs, and that is why they only lead by 1 possession right now. And sure enough, right now on a 3rd and 2, what happens? Dante Moore with a bad throw. It is going to be incomplete, and the Ducks have a 4th and 2 and another decision to make at this point in the game. Current in-game numbers for this contest, if you're watching up on VSiN.com or YouTube TV or wherever you watch, you saw them in front of you. But right now, after this 4th and 2 decision, we have Texas Tech catching 6.5 with a total of 27.5. But that is off the board as we are watching Oregon line up for potentially their fourth down conversion of the day. 4th down has been kind of a nightmare for Oregon. 3rd and 4th down consistently has been a nightmare. Can't wait for after this to see what the success rate has been like, and they are not going to get it again. So on 4th and 2, Dante Moore will fall short about 0.5 yard or so, and this will be Texas Tech's ball deep in their own territory. Lanny's got a lot of questions to answer here. This should be a comfortable lead for the Oregon Ducks, and instead they consistently are letting Texas Tech stick around. What I've got here in this one, Oregon -1 pre-flop that eventually actually was the wrong side. This thing moved in a hurry for those who weren't really keeping track of it. We actually had Texas Tech go off as the 1.5-point favorite. Under 50.5 for me as well. That is off to a decent start. And in game at 1 point also came back in on Oregon -140 on the money line. So we'll see if we can get those home. But Oregon right now doing everything possible to keep Texas Tech into this game. We'll keep track of it throughout the program. Let's get started with what we usually do.
It's time for the top headlines and topics of the day. This is The Rundown.
It is a Thursday, so we'll have our usual guest, Jeff Erickson, join us from RotoWire. We're going to have a conversation about some player props this weekend and what we're looking ahead to the final week of the NFL regular season. And Kelly Bidlin's going to stick around, give us his thoughts on the association. We've all been sitting here watching this on a New Year's Day as well as to what Oregon and Texas Tech have in front of them and what maybe we can expect. Consensus in the office, if you will, is that Oregon should be beating the crap out of Texas Tech, and Kelly will help us break that down in a little bit more coming up in about 15 minutes. And as I mentioned, if the game ends in time and if she gets done with her duties, we'll see if we can get one Stormy Bonantoni on the line live from the Orange Bowl to react to who wins this game. Also on the program today, as we move forward, we do have, of course, reaction to last night. Miami gets it done, eliminates Ohio State yesterday. Talk a little bit about that, what exactly the Hurricanes did, what it means for them going forward. How about that? Miami have them at 16-1 to win the national championship. Bet them away a few months ago. I think Stormy's got it as well. We thought we were dead. They sneak into the postseason, and of course, they have 2 wins under their belt, and they're on to the Final Four. The Miami Hurricanes with a very, very impressive effort. And last and certainly not least, we will continue to preview the Rose and Sugar Bowls as we get you ready for the rest of the college football playoff games later today on a New Year's Day. And that is where we'll begin to give you some updated numbers and, of course, a little bit of what the action is looking like right now. No real movement. And much like yesterday, same thing with today, Saw some late line action today. Saw a late line move yesterday. So far, we'll say split yesterday, dead on. Miami gets all the money heading into kickoff. This thing closes about 7 in favor of the Ohio State Buckeyes, and Miami's in it the entire way. Lead 14 to nothing. Never outside of the number covering from wire to wire against Ohio State. This game, we saw some late line moves. We'll see if that ultimately comes to fruition. But again, as you mentioned, it was 2.5 this morning, very early. Eventually closes Texas Tech, -1.5 on the other side. Alabama and Indiana. Couple of things to mention here as we are waiting for action to resume out in the Orange Bowl. First off, Indiana holding strong across the board, 7 -125 here at Circa. We've talked to Derek a lot about these games on Sundays, the unwillingness to move off of key numbers and the dance you have to enact when you're talking about shading key numbers, -125. Do you want to go to -130? Do you want to go to the 7.5? So it looks like Circa has a decision to make there. So do a couple of these other spots with Indiana laying that number. 47.5, the total. If you've been watching the market today, you saw that this kind of dipped down from 48 down to 47, 47.5. Weather is a small issue here out there at the Rose Bowl. We have a lot of rain. It seems to have cleared up given some action out right now, drying up a little bit. They're squeegeeing the field. We have some footage from earlier today in terms of what the field actually looked like this morning over at the Rose Bowl. It's been a little watery on the West Coast. It was raining and I think still is out here. You see it, though. It was a little bit of a bigger problem earlier today, but think rain's going to clear up, no real wind, and I would expect that we're going to get a game that is playable here from the standpoint of if you like an over, for example. I think you're still going to be able to get there. We'll get to that as I have a couple of bets going forward in these last two games. And then last but certainly not least, I think this is quietly one of the more fascinating games of the day, if not the most. Mississippi and Georgia, 6.5 right now with a total of 55.5 at Circa, but a couple of spots moving to 6, not a ton. We have yet to see a 7 in this game for the Bulldogs, and that is going to be one. We will see if whether or not it gets there. All right, we got some chaos here. Can Oregon finally take advantage? Texas Tech's offense has been abysmal. Whatever adjective you want to use that is negative, that is exactly what Texas Tech has been, and it continues here today. The third turnover for the Red Raiders has Oregon set up inside the 10-yard line right now. Baron Morton drops back to pass. Passing game has been non-existent for the Red Raiders. He gets stripped as he goes back to pass. Oregon returns the ball, also fumbles it. This is going to be a first and goal somewhere at about the 5-yard line of Texas Tech. This is a massive opportunity for the Oregon Ducks right now. This is going to be one of these moments where if you're going to do it, you got to do it now. This team has been all over Texas Tech. They can't even breathe. And yet here they are. It's a 6-0 lead right now. Third and fourth down, as we have mentioned, have been absolutely atrocious for the Ducks. This has to be a moment where you score a touchdown. And you talk about an insurmountable lead. 6-0 seems insurmountable. Finally, the Ducks find pay dirt. Touchdown, Oregon. We have a 2-score lead. Finally, Jordan Davison, 6 yards off the right side. We have a 12-0 game, 11:20 left to go in the third. This is a nightmare for Texas Tech. And really quickly, we talked about this yesterday at length when we broke down this game. One of the things that stuck out, and the reason why, as I had mentioned yesterday, my opinion had changed on this. If you really broke down Texas Tech and the way they had played offense throughout the regular season, this is a team that was wildly dependent on generating explosive plays. Non-explosive expected points added per play. They were floating around like the 25th percentile. They needed to generate big plays. Oregon at times has a penchant for giving those up. They're actually floating around the same percentile and explosive play rate allowed. And we did see one explosive play here in this game for Texas Tech. In the first half, you watched Jacoby Williams break a runoff for 50 yards. It was off a broken tackle in the backfield. The 5 other carries for Williams in this game, 4 total yards. They've done nothing throughout this entire contest. They all season offensively have been dependent on whether or not they can generate those, and they can't do it here against Oregon. So the Ducks with a 13-0 lead, given the way that Baron Morton has played, given the way that this offense looks, nothing is impossible, obviously. But given the way this game has gone so far, 13-0 seems pretty insurmountable given the way that Texas Tech has played this contest. Updated numbers with a 13-0 lead in Texas Tech getting the ball back right now. Oregon, an 11.5-point favorite I got on my screen. Yep, 11.5. Total of 33.5. Texas Tech also, by the way, for the second half was laying a half point, depending on where you were looking. We were talking about that in studio as something that seemed a little off just considering how bad this has been for Texas Tech. So right now, we'll see if the Red Raiders have anything to provide, but it is not looking good. If you do think that this is something that can hold, or if you think that Oregon, if you want to move on and maybe play some alternates that they can tack on to this lead, some of the alternate spreads available, Oregon at -14.5, floating around +120 or so, and we will see if they can get this thing done. And the total, of course, you would think not in the balance. Close 50.5, and here we are at 33.5. So the other games that we're going to discuss, we're going to get some big ones here. We're going to get some previews as well. We'll get a lot of thoughts on these games as we move on for these contests. But the plays that I've got right now for these games, Alabama and Indiana to the point of the weather, over in the first half was something, and we'll have more analysis, of course, on this as we move along here. But playing the first half over between Alabama and Indiana, kind of playing against a little bit of a reaction in the market due to the rain. There's not going to be a lot of wind, as we mentioned. I think that if you look at Kalen DeBoer, the way he can script drives, he's done very well as a coach when you look at his ability to get his team started throughout the season. It's been the lack of a running game that has kind of killed them as these games have gone along. But do have over 23.5 in that first half between these two. And we'll talk a little bit more about the Georgia and Ole Miss game, because it's just one of those contests that you got this weird feeling about. You lick your finger, you test the wind, you go, hey, what do you think about this game? A lot of people think this is going to be a romp for Georgia, and yet a 7 has yet to appear for those two over in the Sugar Bowl. All right, we're just getting started. We'll keep our eye on everything, of course, with the Orange Bowl. This is essentially, it's Money Moves, but it's essentially a live betting show, as we'll keep track of this throughout the rest of the contest. And we have a ton of NBA to get to as well. So don't go anywhere. It's a good betting day on a New Year's Day in 2026. And we'll be with you the rest of the way. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. VSiN Pro gives you access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Football meets flavor with VSiN and Omaha Steaks, the official sponsor of tailgating. And right now, when you spend $129, you can score 2 pounds of fully cooked chicken wings plus 50% off site-wide at omahasteaks.com/VSIN. Don't wait. Spend $129, get 2 pounds of wings, and save 50% site-wide on steaks and more. omahasteaks.com/VSIN. That's omahasteaks.com/VSIN. Minimum purchase required. See site for details. All of those out there who are leading debaucherous lives and are general pieces of garbage, well, guess what? Hell just froze over. You're in luck, because Oregon got into the end zone. Touchdown Ducks, 13-0, 9:42 left to go in the third. And mercifully, maybe because hell has frozen over, we have a conversion on a 2nd and 10 on a downfield pass. That is finally an explosive generated through the air for the Texas Tech Red Raiders. And just like that, they are moving the football. Potentially, the previous two plays did not look particularly great. I think really the total is going to be the big question of the second half. The second half total was really, I think, one of the things we had discussed at Earnest. 24.5, the closing number at some spots. DraftKings, I don't know if this is updating. Yeah, 27.5 for a second half total. It seems a little off considering where the rest of the market is. But either way, a higher scoring second half may be predicted by some. With that, let's welcome in here at the desk, Kelly Bidlin. He has watched the game this whole time. You've taken in all of this. We were all in here watching this game. We were all pretty fascinated by the way that this game was playing out.
It's crazy. It's wild. First of all, who would ever bet on Texas Tech? Why didn't anybody let me know this is like the worst team ever?
So you have Texas Tech?
I have Texas Tech. I have Texas Tech +2.5. It's looking great.
You get KCLV?
Not a great day for the Steam Chasers and everybody going after that this morning.
I mean, look, it's only 13-0, man. And they're already in Oregon territory as they're finally starting to generate something here. So the fact that Oregon has not done anything throughout this entire game, you're still alive.
Hey, you're right. We could sit here and bash both sides for the next 10 minutes because, Oregon should be destroying these guys. I don't know about that last first down catch. it was a little too casual by the wide receiver.
Right.
Like, they've been doing it all day. Like, I know you need to, like, plant the feet, like, really haul that in to make it easy on the refs.
Baron Morton throws pretty much an interception, but it's dropped by Flower, the Oregon safety. So just like that, this is going to be a 2nd and 10, but that was absolutely, you know, we like to talk about the turnover-worthy plays. Without a doubt, a turnover-worthy play. Instead, it is dropped. So Baron Morton and the Texas Tech Red Raiders get to live another day on a 2nd and 10 coming up with 8:02 left to go in the third. So I wanted to ask you this as we're watching this game, and we'll get to the NBA as well. Having said that, this is one of the things we've been waiting for, I think, most of the day. Where was the Ole Miss-Georgia line going to go? Well, Superbook here in town just went to 5.5.
Statement.
Yep. I mean, I think that says something.
It does. They were first to 6 this morning, too, when Gil and I were on air.
Yep. And Circa moved to 6 as we were talking, too. They were 6.5. So we are starting to see this finally budge. Like, it's just been sitting. Out of all the games, we've at least seen, hey, Indiana opened 6.5, went to 7.
Right.
You know, we saw the total move because of the weather. We at least saw some movement here. This one has been pretty much static since it opened. And now 5.5 at Superbook, 6 here at Circa. But assume the market's going to start to follow. But this is, I keep going back to this, and I just, this is a kind of steam chasey thing, whatever it is. I just find it very curious that the general opinion is that this is a no-brainer. Georgia's going to get this done.
Yeah.
And yet this market has not moved. It has not gotten to 7. And in fact, 5.5 is now starting to appear.
Yeah. I mean, you know me, John. I'm not the biggest college football bettor on the planet. Obviously, we're sitting here doing betting shows all day, and there is always that voice in the back of my head, right? We haven't hit 7 on this game yet, right? Like, I know the storylines that are going around. We haven't seen a 7. So I have not bet it. I still think I would be part of the crowd that would say Georgia or nothing. I get it. This is a massive challenge that we're asking Ole Miss to do, right? Like, there is, I don't even know if you're a player, what's going through your mind on who's coaching, on the coaching staff for this game. You have guys that have left that are coming back now to do this game. Like, it's weird. It is not really a scenario we've seen before. So for that reason alone, I would still say it's Georgia or nothing for me, but it's going to end up being nothing, man. It is the fact that we never hit 7. Yeah, that does strike me as odd.
I want to play Georgia. I was one of the, I keep pointing out for our college football playoff guide, Georgia was the most picked team to win the national championship in the VSiN College Football Playoff Guide. And Ohio State only had 5. And at the time, seemed pretty shocking. Now, doesn't really seem that shocking as they were eliminated last night. The other 5 were Oregon. Oregon was a very popular selection as well. We'll see if they can get it done here. But my whole point is, I think Georgia's gotten better as the year has gone along. I think they've shown improvement. But this is also a team, Kelly, that is in SEC play, trailed in every of these games. They have had to come back. They've had to have strong second halves here. Their third quarters have been brilliant. I don't know if they're going to buck the trend and get off to these slow starts and, again, just kind of come storming back. They controlled Alabama, but it wasn't exactly impressive. So this all to say, I like Georgia. And maybe I'm just talking myself out of this because we haven't gotten to 7. But at this point right now, it would be 7 or nothing for me. Or should be Georgia or nothing for me. Really quick, you're not a really big, mentioned not big on college football. You have to have an opinion. It's college football playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Rose Bowl, anything?
Oh, yeah, totally. I'm the guy that I'm sure like we're going to see before this game kicks off. I'm going to guess we see this in the next 2 hours.
Okay.
A bunch of people like me come up and be like, Alabama's a 7-point favorite to Indiana in college football? Like, it's Alabama or nothing. I haven't bet it. But it would still be that's jumping out to me. 7.5 you can get right now in Bama. That's another one where we have seen movement this morning, right? It was most books were 7 on this game all day. Man, if you're outside Nevada right now, it doesn't really look like there's many 7s left. We're seeing a couple still hanging here, extra juice over at Westgate, over at Circa, right behind us, still at 7, but it's mainly 7.5s. I'll tell you, JVT, I tweeted out this morning, Wes Reynolds in the rain, watching the Rose Bowl parade. This is Wes's day. I'm just here for Wes. Yeah. We're here for Wes and rooting for him, man. It's got to be like, it's Indiana football. Like, I still don't believe we're talking about this on January 1st.
I would definitely agree with you. I mean, it is, as I like to say, it's grating to the brainwaves to kind of see stuff like this.
Yeah.
I think it makes some sense. Alabama, we discussed this at length yesterday. The thing that really bothers you is the inability to run the football. 22 yards on the ground last week against Oklahoma. They are the most inefficient rushing attack in the playoff field. It has been wild how bad that this has been. Injuries are part of it, but they have not been a team that has had any balance, and Indiana is a team that is able to play the run. However, Stephen Daly, of course, with that weird injury after the Big Ten championship game, might be a lost lead, a team leader in tackles for loss. All right, fourth and one coming up.
Big fourth down.
Yeah, big fourth down. Kelly and I were joking about this earlier. I love a big third down.
Oh, man. Okay. No shot. This team sucks.
I have to get this off my chest because we saw Oregon do this. I need to see the replay because I believe, did they just run a wildcat? Was that just straight to the back and tried to run it off the edge? What drives me nuts, Oregon did this on a fourth down earlier where you're moving the ball, and they did. It was a stupid wildcat. You're moving the football. You finally have some life. I don't need the trickeration.
And there's nobody there. There's nobody there to pick up the extra block that needs to happen. Like
that's
poor design.
That's a really poor play call. And on fourth and one. And by the way, these guys, Jordan McGuire and others, they are not the only they're not the only people in this game that have failed on these calls, because Dan Lanning and Oregon have been awful. But that could be a huge swing here, because Texas Tech finally had some life, was finally on the other side of the 50, and instead it dies out at the Oregon 35-yard line. If Oregon can't put the foot on the throat here, I mean, this might be it. I'd go for a knockout shot at some point. Yeah. Usually you see that in these situations too. Play action over the top to see if you can get something here. But instead it's a first down run, so we're going to get a second and about five coming up for Oregon after that swing.
And you're right, man. Like you were talking about before of, hey, if you had a Texas Tech ticket like me, you're not dead. I mean, you go and score a touchdown there, this is a whole new ball game. Okay. I mean, 13-7, 13, you know, 13-6, whatever we're talking here.
So here's my question. We've been watching this game. We've seen how Oregon has operated. Their only touchdown of the day comes courtesy of a strip sack fumble recovery in which you get it on the 5-yard line and you punch it in for a touchdown run.
Why is the total still as high as it is?
No, I was actually going to ask you, can I interest you in Texas Tech at 8-1 to win the game? Oregon's minus 1,600 at some spots to win this game.
Man,
it is a two-possession game. They have done nothing on third and fourth downs this entire time. We have another third and one coming up here.
I'd still go under. I'd go under.
You're under 29.5?
I wouldn't do it yet, though, right? This is, okay, third and one. We're talking about near midfield. Got to see how this drive plays out, I think, before you get involved.
Dante Moore's going to scramble for a first down. Yep.
Got to wait for a break here, see where things are at. It would still be under or nothing for me, though.
Yeah.
A touchdown by Oregon here maybe changes that, right? You're going to get more prevent defense by them involved. Okay, you got a three-score game. Okay, you're going to get a little bit more off coverage. You're going to be able to get Texas Tech doing a few more things out there in space. So a touchdown here would change that. If this is punt, a failed fourth down conversion, whatever, that Texas Tech is getting the ball back 13-0, I'm going in game under.
And to your point, too, I don't know if we trust that this last drive for Texas Tech, which eventually was a turnover on downs, but it was 12 plays, 57 yards. Some of the plays in this drive kind of shows the reliance for Texas Tech on some of these explosive plays. So they started off with an 8-yard pass, but then it's a 1-yard run, a run for no gain, an incompletion, a 24-yard pass, a 1-yard run, a 4-yard run, an 8-yard pass, incompletion, 10-yard pass, and then, of course, they go for it on fourth one, and they don't get it. So this has been a team that, again, even in that drive, has shown its reliance on some of these explosives.
Yeah, I mean, and Oregon just seems content with picking up 3 yards at a time here, and why wouldn't they?
All right, Kelly's going to stick around for one more because we want to talk a little NBA is what we're going to see today. Also, we got something in the awards market in the association that we have to get, at least I have to get off my chest. You fools, we'll tell you what that means when we come back.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Folks, make sure you take advantage of all the specials we have here at the website, including for only $79, you get access to everything we do until May 1st, for Dad's birthday. Daily best bets, DraftKings, and Circa betting splits. You get those AI-driven prop projections. Those are a lot of fun. They're very, very good, very well done. You want to check those out. I always attest that some of our betting tools, we don't give them enough credit. The Player Prop Analyzer as well, so make sure you check them out. Plus, of course, the 24/7 live and video on demand. You can watch on the VSiN app, VSiN.com. So go check out everything we have. VSiN.com/subscribe. $79, everything we do until May 1st. By the way, that includes, of course, golf coverage, as golf season's right around the corner. All right, an update here. First and 10 for Texas Tech. Dante Moore throws a pretty bad interception over the middle of the field. Tech now takes over, 13-0, just under 3 minutes left to go. So given the way that I have set this up, I took a little back, plus 525 on Texas Tech. So I'm in a position that whatever the result is, it'll be okay, but I'd rather have the Oregon Ducks still win this game. It is incredible, though, the ability for Oregon at this point to consistently shoot itself in the foot in a game in which they should be up by about four or five scores right now.
It's becoming incredible.
Yeah.
Like, for what we saw in the first half, it just felt like that team that was doing everything but couldn't find the end zone. And now that we're well into the third quarter, it's just, yeah, man, this game should be done and over. And Texas Tech, back with the ball, down only two scores, is pretty wild.
Yep, and we should also note the decision, the interception, it occurred on fourth and second. So you're up by 13. The offense has done nothing that you're facing. The offense that you're facing has done nothing all game. The decision to go for it, I think a lot of people are upset by. Do you just punt it and pin them back, considering how much 90 yards would mean for an offense like this?
I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
I'm okay with it. I think it's the fourth and go situation for, you know, most analytics spots anyways. But we hit on last segment, JVT, it's the put this team away, right? Like, what if they showed offensively? You go score a touchdown there, this game's feeling over at 20-0.
Yep. All right.
So I don't have a problem with that. And
I'm with you.
If Texas Tech scores here, fine. They haven't done, they finally showed a pulse the whole game.
Second and 16, you got about a 13, 14-yard run. A little bit less than that, actually. So we got a third and three coming up for Texas Tech. That run is going to go for about 2.5. So you're going to have a tight fourth down. Might even give it to them. So we'll see what the measurement is. All right.
Well, that's a good spot. Regardless of whether it's a first down or not, that's a good spot.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see what this is. 158 and rolling left to go in the third. They're going to give them the first down. Texas Tech, jeez, that is. Current in-game numbers really quick before we move on to the association here. Right now, Oregon, about a 9.5-point favorite. Total, 26.5. Money line price, minus 810 and plus 500 coming back. We had talked about that. About, do you take that? You take that a little 6-1 or a little bit higher considering, or was it 8-1 I brought it? Either way.
You said 8-1.
Yeah, they are reviewing the spot right now. So
what are your positions in the game? You just, your money line both sides, you just arbed this?
So I've got Oregon minus 1 pre-flop, then came in when they were up or driving minus 130.
Okay.
And then now have 525 coming back on Oregon, plus 525, so... Let's see if we can get this done here for
John's
Texas
called
Tech.
It a day, and he can focus on you, the audience.
That's right. And also have under 50.5. So this
that one's looking good.
Yes, this could be okay. And we need these things to happen for us.
Retroactive betting. Under was the way to go.
Yeah. The whole time. I knew it. all right. Especially when Oregon was driving on its first drive. That was the other part. They took their first drive right down, and you were like, oh, man, this might not be. Then, of course, it died of immediately. All right. Association. First off, we've got a few games here today. Condolences. I know it's been a big football day. I'm sure that maybe you covered this on a numbers game for our audience so that wasn't paying attention yesterday because there was a football game going on, a college football playoff game. Condolences to you who had laid 2.5 with the San Antonio Spurs last night.
Yeah.
The way this game ends, as the Knicks go down by 5, they go to take a last-second shot with about 6 seconds left. They miss the three-pointer. Spurs recover and are willing to just dribble the ball out. Jalen Brunson sprints over, grabs the ball, and falling out from essentially behind the basket, hits a three to get the number to fall right on 2. Absolute ludicrous play that gets you on the number. So condolences there. News coming out of it, you should watch. Victor Wembanyama got a little knee tweak, so we'll see if we have another knee injury in the span of a few days for some of the more important players in the association. Today, let's start here. Did you have anything today, Kelly, that you liked or that you're looking at?
Yes, I did. I just wanted to real quick pull up. Okay, so Wembanyama, at least at DraftKings, they have pulled him off the board for Defensive Player of the Year.
Okay.
I don't think I'm missing him. Yeah, no. Chet minus 200 now for Defensive Player of the Year. Bam plus 650.
What's Rudy Gobert?
Is your top about 15-1.
Mm.
15-1-5, not the 50 that you and I discussed and I never ended up betting.
So, got to get there,
good
buddy.
Good on you, man. Good on you. It just felt so sad when we were having that conversation of just circling the same old names.
Yeah.
But it is. It's Gobert. It's Draymond. If they want to show Bam any love this year, like, he's live for it.
It's not Draymond. I will tell you that right now. I told Zach Cohen today.
Okay.
I said, if I hear another late season stupid push for Draymond to win this award, because here's the thing. They're not that good defensively. The numbers might dictate they're pretty good with him on the floor. I think also what's part of this is, sorry, dude, you can't continue to be Draymond Green and win some of these awards. Like, you're going to be on a 500 team that maybe makes it into the play-in,
mm-hmm,
and they're going to give you Defensive Player of the Year. Like, that's not going to happen. Sorry. So we'll see if maybe they improve down the stretch and go on another torrid run like they did last year. Oh, boy. How about this?
Yeah, big pass here by Texas Tech.
I don't know if this is actually something or nothing. By the way, another explosive to Kelly's point, the reliance on the explosive plays. Baron Morton with a good throw to the left sideline to get them down inside the 10-yard line. So we're going to head into the fourth quarter. first and goal from the Oregon 9 for Texas Tech.
I love when the team lines up like that. Yeah. Like, they have no idea. How do you have no idea the clock's winding down? Yeah. You just showed off potentially what you wanted to line up in.
Yeah. it's pretty incredible.
I like yelling things like people are watching the same things we are.
Sure,
right now,
of course.
Current second.
All right, so with that, I got confused. I was getting all
NBA
wrapped up
today. NBA I took today. It. Okay, yeah, yes, like? I got one in the NBA today. I will say, I don't know how you handle this. Gil questioned me about this, and I think it's fair. During this time of year, I do stake down bet size a little bit. When we're talking around the holidays, you just never know where these guys' heads are at, traveling between home, on the road, trying to see family. And I think the side I did bet today is, I think, maybe one of the better examples. I'm on the Pistons today. Okay. They just coming off a big road trip. They played December 30th, so you're only talking about one day off in between. Talking about coming back home, out from a few days in California, New Year's Eve last night. What's really going through their minds and everybody's minds today? I don't like playing that guessing game. You and I, you know, are pretty strict with our numbers. I like to stick to that. When there's kind of some of these extra things involved that you got to try to guess at, it's not something I love. So it's still a bet for me, but definitely staked down on this today. I laid 5 with the Pistons. You can get a better number now, actually 4.5. I'm a little surprised some Heat love came in on this game, but it did. Talking since December 1, JVT, Detroit 9-4 straight up, plus 9.9 on net rating. That is third best in the NBA outside of garbage time minutes, thanks to Cleaning the Glass. I know you and I love that website. Ninth in offense, third in defense over that time. Miami sputtering a little bit here, 5-8 straight up over that time. Tyler Hero back out of the lineup. I think that's big for them. Like Detroit, 13-2 at home this season straight up, 9-6 against the spread. I actually think, again, if this was a week or two from now, full-size bet for me. Going to just ratchet it down a little bit because of the New Year's Day situation.
At home as well for Detroit. Second-best defensive rating at home among teams. So that's also something that works out for you. And the question I pose this to Zach, which, by the way, I was on Hardwood Handicappers today. I'm on every Thursday, so check that out every day, but also today. But one of the things that I had sent out to him as well, you alluded to it with some of the numbers for Miami. It seems like the offense has kind of been figured out at this point. Mm. If you stretch this out a little bit farther since November 24th, 7-9 straight up, 5-11 against the spread. But what sticks out, offensive rating for Miami over that time, 114.5. But they're eighth best in terms of turnover rate.
Right.
And they're 10th best in offensive rebounding rate. So, in other words, translation, they're not turning the ball over. They're getting second chance opportunities. And yet they're still one of the least efficient offenses in the league over this time. So what does that tell you? I think they've kind of been figured out a little bit. And so, we saw this from the Grizzlies last year. And that is the common thread. The offensive, of course, the offensive system Grizzlies were using last year. Now over here in Miami, took the league by storm for the first like month or two in Memphis, then it died off, and we're seeing the same thing here again right now.
Yeah, and this is, I just wanted to pull it up to confirm, but you know, Norman Powell even said this.
Yep.
He said this with a microphone in front of him about the offense being figured out a little bit. I do think there are some things that, betting any sport, right, we have to try to read in between numbers and read in between the lines. When a player flat out says that, in December, my antennas go up for sure, JVT. Like, okay, Heat, let's back off a little bit and see what this looks like. That's what's great about betting the NBA. I don't know about you. I love when I think there are times during the season, maybe the Denver Nuggets are a good team right now to discuss this with, when they are in transition of what they're going to look like from 1 week to maybe a couple weeks down the line, no problem of taking a step back and saying, I'm fine, I'm not going to bet a game that they're involved in. Not against, not on. I'm just not going to bet them for a couple weeks.
Right now, we're watching Texas Tech, their first goal-to-go possession. First and goal, nothing, maybe a two-yard gain, if that. Second and goal, a run off the right side, gets pushed out of bounds for a loss of one. So third and goal coming up for Texas Tech right now. Again, trailing 13-0 with 14 minutes left to go in the fourth. Really quick, last 30 seconds, can we show Kelly our creation? Can we show Kelly our Charlotte Hornets winometer? You guys can use it whenever you want.
I'm going to steal it, yeah. You said it was built for me partially,
right?
Too. Yep, yeah,
because our max, look at it, our max value, 30 wins. That's for you right there.
Let's go.
I said we should put little faces on next to everybody's win total that we have here. We're all sweating out the Charlotte Hornets.
Is it bad? I can't tell exactly what number we're at. 11?
11.
Okay.
11. All right, we'll come back. A pick in the end zone.
Wow.
Oregon's going to take control of this one.
Where's
with 13 minutes left.
We'll be right back.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Comedy of errors for Texas Tech at this point right now. The goal to go drive, it dies with an interception in the left corner of the end zone. Baron Morton with a really poor throw. Didn't see the corner that was covered. It looked like the flat. Sink it back and picking off that little corner route. So just like that, you get the ball back to Oregon. Well, Oregon, of course, because they can't do anything offensively themselves, go three and out. But on a fourth and one, as they're lining up the punt, Texas Tech jumps off sides. So a fresh set of downs for Oregon, not threatening in any way, shape, or form. They have a second and seven right now from the Oregon 37-yard line or so. And another little screen pass out there to the flat. We'll see what this gets them. We'll say about third and four coming up from the 40-yard line. But you cannot continue to do this. You're both teams. Both teams have been playing extremely poor in this game, and yet here we are, 13-0, Oregon up on top. Some of the in-game numbers as it stands right now, and the old cliche, getting late early, Oregon a 12.5-point favorite, total 20.5 right now. I think that's going to get adjusted because it's shaded to the under about $1.75. And then the money line price, Oregon now back up to minus 4,000, Texas Tech 14-1, and as I say that, spikes out to 25-1. So I'm going to assume that on a third and three here, Oregon is going to convert. And in fact, it's going to be maybe a 27-yard pass for Oregon that's going to get them down to the Texas Tech 33-yard line. So a big play. Oregon finally getting an explosive. They've done nothing with these positive drives. But one would assume that a touchdown here for sure would be a nail in the coffin. You only get a field goal. It's still a two-possession game if Texas Tech can pull it off. So right now, again, 13.5 the spread, total 20.5 in this one. All right, with that, let's give you some line moves. Let's see where we're at because we're starting to see some movement. The screen's starting to flash here at a couple of different spots. So let's update with where we are. Alabama, Indiana, Rose Bowl coming up in just over an hour and a half from now, excuse me, between these two. Alabama catching seven. All the seven shaded heavily to the favorite side at about minus 120 or minus.
Cashin' tickets is what it's all about.
The big move that we're discussing right now, the total. In the last couple of minutes, the total has been bet down from 47.5 down to 46 right now. That's here at Circa and multiple other spots, and that's kind of the big move as it stands. Remember, weather is kind of a factor out there at the Rose Bowl. We are getting some rain. Wind reports aren't really that big. 5-mile-an-hour breezes. Doesn't seem like it's going to be anything that would alter the way that this game is going to be played. So we'll see if the precipitation is enough, or maybe it's starting to pick up, that this would change the way that this is going to get played from a total standpoint. But another bit of a late move here. Late moves has kind of been the story for these college football playoff games. Last night, Miami, 9.5 in the days, week leading up to their game with Ohio State. Late move pushes that in Miami's favor. They get there. Today, Oregon, Texas Tech, Oregon opens up a 1.5-point dog. The initial move in the first day is to get that to Oregon minus 2.5. That's the number for the entire time leading up until about 2 hours from kickoff, and then all of a sudden late push that gets Texas Tech as the favorite pre-flop. And we'll see if these late moves on this total and if there's a late move on the side for Alabama and Indiana in this one. All right, shockingly enough, Dante Moore gets hit, gets rid of the ball, but that's going to be short. Fourth down now coming up for Oregon. It is a 4th-and-2. 8 minutes left to go, 8:02 specifically. I believe Oregon is going to call a timeout here to decide what they want to do. We have an injury timeout. Looks like one of the offensive linemen is down. So Dan Lanning discussing with his team at the break. We'll see exactly what they decide to do when they come out of this injury timeout right now. Another one, too. The story here, if you're just joining us, you haven't looked at the screen yet. We are starting to see 5.5s appear for Georgia against Ole Miss. Superbook has a 5.5 up there. And if you consider this a book of consequence, Hard Rock also just hung up a 5.5 as well, if you're somewhere that has this. But the notable book out here in Las Vegas, Superbook at 5.5 in favor of this number. 54.5 the total. We're starting to see that dip a little bit. And in fact, a couple of spots are starting to pop at 54 flat. So this is going to be one that will be a very interesting line move by the time we get to kickoff later today. So with that, let's take a little bit of a journey backwards because we haven't really had an opportunity to look back at last night here because we've had this game going on. A massive win for the Miami Hurricanes over Ohio State to move on to the Final Four of the college football playoff. A wildly impressive game, I thought, at multiple times for both teams. The Ohio State comeback when they were down 14-0, especially in that third quarter where it looked like maybe they were going to be able to get right back into this thing and potentially even come back and win it. I thought in the loss, Julian Sain was actually very, very strong. You see the numbers there, 22 of 35, 287 yards, one touchdown, two picks, dealing with adversity really well, had been pressured like crazy in this game, was pressured at a very high rate for the first time in his young career there, the starting quarterback of Ohio State in the Big Ten championship game. And for two straight games, you kind of saw that Ohio State's offensive line maybe hadn't dealt with really talented fronts. Then they dealt with one in the Big Ten championship game, lost the game, and Julian Sain was taken down to the ground a lot and, again, had to deal with it in the loss here to Miami. But I think the impressive part about this, there's a couple of things that, as we move forward with Miami, be curious to see, depending on who they take on, if they can continue to keep this up. First off, Carson Beck, another strong performance for Carson Beck. The numbers won't really dictate it. 19 of 26, 138 yards, only 5.3 yards per attempt, one touchdown, no interceptions. 19 of those completions, or 11 of those 19 completions, went for first downs for Carson Beck, making a lot of big throws. The very impressive run that gave them a first down, where he puts his shoulder down and runs through a defender, and the running game overall. I think you have to be impressed for two straight games now. Miami, we went over the numbers yesterday in terms of efficiency, traditional metrics, things of that nature. Miami had not been able to run the ball consistently all year long. They weren't Alabama, but they weren't one of the best teams in the country either. And yet for a second straight game, it shows up. Mark Fletcher Jr. yesterday, 19 carries, 90 yards, 4.7 per attempt, and a big 19-yard carry. Chamar Brown as well, 5 carries, 26 yards, and a touchdown. And that was a really big difference for them in this matchup against Ohio State. A brief pause, 16-0 now. Oregon elects to kick a field goal with 7:53 left to go, and they will take a 16-0 lead over Texas Tech. So again, we're still technically in that two-possession range, but you have to be better offensively if you're Texas Tech. You got to take care of the football. We're now talking about, we had 4 turnovers now for Texas Tech, I believe, in this game, which has been absolutely abysmal. Some of the updated offensive numbers, as with 7:53 left to go, they have no more margin for error. 2 lost fumbles, 2 interceptions, and 193 total yards for the Red Raiders in this game. Can't blame this defense. This defense was everything money bought for the Red Raiders. They've done everything they can to keep this offense in it. But Baron Morton and the Red Raiders offense clearly looking like a group that was able to rely on a disjointed offense, heavily reliant on explosives in a bad Big 12 conference. And that is starting to see, or at least you're starting to see, a little bit of a difference here. So back to what we're going to see with Miami as we move forward. So Miami, of course, will take on the winner of Georgia and Ole Miss. Some of the projected numbers before this game went off here today, Georgia projected to be a 2.5-point favorite with a total of 46.5, and then Ole Miss catching 2.5 with a total of 51.5. These are some hypothetical matchups over at DraftKings that involved the Miami Hurricanes. Got to wonder, man, what this is going to look like. And also depends on how Georgia looks. I would assume that if Georgia's going to blow out Ole Miss, that many expect them to, we're probably going to get a number that's around actually 3, maybe 3.5 in favor of Georgia over Miami. But you have to be impressed with the way that Miami's lines of scrimmage have been operating here. The offensive line carving out through Texas A&M and Ohio State's fronts the last 2 rounds. I think playing these games obviously does matter a little bit, at least in terms of getting 2 games under your belt. Some might say it wears you down, but I would think that it's a very big positive for Miami to build this up. And we'll see. I mean, at the beginning of the year, before the 2 losses, many people, including myself, thought that Miami was a national championship contender with the way they played on the lines of scrimmage. And that's, we should not forget this about Miami as they move forward into these 2 hypotheticals potentially. This secondary is very good. They're big, they're physical, they're long. We talked a little bit about that yesterday, and that showed in some of the receiving numbers. Jeremiah Smith was very good, and he's obviously the best receiver in the country. 7 receptions, 157 yards, and a touchdown. But Carnell Tate had absolutely nothing going for him really in this game. 3 receptions, 37 yards on 50, excuse me, and a long of 57. Carnell Tate was mostly non-existent, and a lot of that had to do with this secondary and their ability to cover and cover at a very high level. So Miami's a very dangerous team, I think. And if Ole Miss especially pulls this off, you're looking at a very clear path for Miami to make it to a national championship game, of course, after we all thought they weren't even going to make it in to the college football playoff. It's exactly how it's going to go. I will have a little bit more on this, too, because we're starting to see a trend emerge in the college football playoff and this new iteration of it. I would disagree with the way that we're kind of framing this rest versus rust theory for the teams with the byes, but we'll talk about that coming up in the second hour. Let's give you an update as we have a dramatic set of downs coming up here. 3rd and 7 for Texas Tech. Another throw within 2 yards of the line of scrimmage. That's going to be about 2 yards worth of gain. So 4th and about 5 coming up for Texas Tech right now. in-game numbers, it is looking bleak for the Red Raiders with 7 minutes left to go and another fourth down staring them in the face. If you got, $100,000 lying around, you can get yourself a cool $100. If Oregon wins this game, they're a 15.5-point favorite, total down to 22.5. Barron Morton and the Red Raiders on this fourth down, he is not going to get it. Oregon will take over on the Texas Tech side about the 30-yard line. We'll give you the ramifications of that, what's going to happen. We're talking about totals now as well. We'll get to a little bit more of the college football playoff, our NBA plays, and hopefully this hurries up so we can get Stormy on the show. Let's get this done. We'll come back here. Second hour of Money Moves next.